You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network.
Guys, you know, I'm so excited to play the next season of The Walking Dead, Telltale's The Walking Dead. You know, we're going to learn about Clementine, what she's been doing. I'm so excited to play Clementine again because, you know, season one, great. Season two, I thought was even better. And I just really want to see the continuation of her story, right? We gonna get that? No? No?
2 weeks later.
Okay, so that's the thing. You know, John, you have not played season two of The Walking Dead, which I think is very interesting, but I have, and I think, Justin, you have as well, right?
Yes, I've played everything except the Michonne chapters.
Yeah, I skipped those too. I just wasn't particularly interested in them.
Shall I play 400 Days as well?
I did play that because that's when I was like, oh, I got to play everything. And even that was kind of disappointing. You played that too, Justin, right?
Yeah, they made such a big deal. Like, it's going to play heavily into season two. It's like, yeah, for 5 minutes of the episode.
If that, like, they're just kind of like cameos in like episode three of season two. It's really weird. We're going over John's head because he doesn't know what the hell we're talking about. We're talking about season three.
I did try, and actually I was going to wiki the story. I did spoil everything from 400 days, but then,
you're fine.
But then when I got to season two, I was like, no, wait, I want to play this.
Yeah,
It's worth it.
It's worth it. And at this point, it's probably all fixed. And you won't have any of the bugs or glitches that Justin and I encountered years ago when he played it. But I mean, yeah, season three of The Walking Dead takes place where it's been several years, obviously, after the events of season two, where we were not playing as Clementine this time around, or at least not for the majority of the episodes. We're actually playing as a new character named Javier.
Javi.
Or Javi for short. Prince Javi. You know, I kind of, what's the guy from Aladdin? Prince Ali,
handsome is he, Ali Ababa.
I want to hear Latino Robin Williams sing that song now. Prince Ali.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Full Spanish.
Yeah, I was like, I always want to call him Prince Ali because they mentioned Prince Ali or Prince Javi at one point. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of the weird thing with me. Like, immediately, we're just going to kind of give our initial thoughts right now where I knew that Javier would be a character in these new episodes, and I thought we would play as him, but I didn't think he would be the main character throughout. And so I think that kind of colored my initial view of these first two episodes, because we're going to review the first two episodes and release them at the same time. So there you go. Two for the price of one.
The Ties That Bind.
Yes, The Ties That Bind, part one and two. And so that I felt kind of like immediately disconnected, not only because the game opens where you're kind of – it's pre-apocalypse before all the shit goes down, where you're just learning that, like, there's some weird stuff happening. All the traffic is backed up on the highway. I have to go, you know, visit my brother who's an asshole for some reason.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, and it's just like,
is backed up.
Ugh. It's like, we've seen this before. I know about this. Like, I want to get to the story. Like, I want to be in that world already. It's just like, these people are like, you know, and of course, you know, you play as Javier, who is obviously going to his family home. His father is dying. And of course, you know, he's very upset. His brother's like, where were you? It's like, traffic backed up. I have no idea why. But it's just that moment, which I thought was just set the tone to introduce these characters, I just found personally frustrating because of the fact that, okay, we know what's going to happen at that point. It's like, okay, yeah, it's their experience, but we've seen this experience multiple times in the past seasons. That's why it didn't work for me. So that immediately I was kind of off on the wrong foot with that. Like, I wasn't in the right mindset, I think, maybe to play the games, knowing what I had realized at that point. I was like, oh, this is not about Clementine anymore. Really not, unless maybe to a certain extent, but not anymore. And where, I don't know, it's just like throughout this entire episode, everything kind of felt a little off to me. Like, nothing I felt like I was doing like held such a greater importance, because at the end of the day, I just didn't have that connection with any of these characters. And sure, it's this first episode, it's this brand new story, but my emotions are invested in this, in Clementine, in her story, and because it's been built over two games, 10 episodes, really. And to see that Telltale would go in such a different direction with this, where Clementine's now she's a supporting character, almost like a tertiary character to a certain extent. It was just very surprising to me, and it just kind of colored my gameplay experience, not only through episode one, but also episode two. I mean, John, having not played season two of The Walking Dead, you probably had a very different experience.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. As you said at the beginning, it didn't really take me aback.
Okay.
I think the difference is, and the reason we're reviewing this so late is because I didn't really want to play it at first. I'm going to just say it up front. I didn't have really plans to play it. Batman kind of left a sour taste in my mouth with all its bugs. But you had already played it, and you were the one who told me before I started it that you're not Clementine.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was a thing. So, like, I had known it going into the game, and whereas I think I wasn't sure you really knew.
I thought that you would play as two characters. I did not think that you would be solely. I mean, you play as Clementine sometimes, but it's not like half and half.
Yeah.
It's like 5 minutes.
So for me, it was like I had already expected it and I knew what was coming. So I also didn't play the second season. Mm-hmm. So I didn't get reintroduced to that kind of storyline. So it worked. I had seen Lee's story. Now let's go to this other part of the world or wherever they're at.
Yeah.
And see it from Javi's perspective. And I think it just worked a lot better for me. The first interaction that you have with your brother, the writing's a little bit clunky.
It's kind of soap opera.
Yeah, it was a bit over the top. But after that, the way the camera movement, mm-hmm. it feels much more cinematic. I just thought there was a nice amount of craftsmanship in what they were doing.
Okay.
They changed the aspect ratio. They had a lot better cut work with the musical cues and like credited thing and mm-hmm. then scene. Credits, scene. It's more cinematic. And I think it really drew me into it, even though I had already known where it was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't play season two, I don't have this huge tie to Clem. I have my relationship with Clementine is I want to protect you.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's just I want to protect you. That's my role. You're my child, that kind of thing. So I told you off mic that playing this makes me want to play season two. It makes me more interested in Clementine
mm-hmm.
Because last time I saw her, she had to make a really big girl decision and she had to kill somebody.
Mm-hmm.
The next time I see her, she's a badass, completely aware and in control of her surroundings. She doesn't need Javi. Javi needs her.
Yeah.
And so that dynamic is very interesting to me. And I found myself going, well, what happened to Clem? Like, why is she like this? Mm-hmm. Why? What did she go through? What has she seen? How long has it really been? And I think, I've been seeing season two as sort of like a prologue to the new frontier.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to think of them as seasons necessarily. I think that's where maybe Telltale messed up and maybe that's what they're backing away from because this isn't season three. It's just when it shows up on the screen, it says Telltale, A New Frontier.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting. That marketing is very interesting that it's not season three.
Mm-hmm.
It's A New Frontier.
Yeah, you're right about that.
And so to me, it comes across as like they're building something new here.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking it in a completely different direction. Maybe they want to tell more in-depth stories. Maybe Clem is the tie to a bunch of stories. Because if you look ahead, season four, she's still here. She's still in it. So, and she, you know, from what we see in this first two episodes, she's going to play a big role.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she's just a tie, not really a star, but she's like the connecting force throughout this entire adventure, throughout all their seasons.
Yeah.
Or games, yeah. Not seasons, games.
Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, Justin, what about your experience, your initial kind of, view of this episode, really the first two episodes?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of more on John's perspective here, because, I mean, I did play, all those seasons with, like you did, but I kind of disliked season two a lot, and it's mostly because I like Clem, I think she's a great character, but I'm getting to the point where it feels like she's overdeveloped. Like, after everything that you've done that second season, there's not really much more you can do to affect her story. It's not really much more you can do to really change her dramatically without having to do, like, Matrix-style bullet dodges to hurtle around the choices. But, I feel like I actually really, really liked all the characters coming into the story. Like, Javi, it's nice to have a fresh perspective, because this is a different type? Well, let me say this. Like, Walking Dead will always have the problem of telling the same stories over and over again. It's just how well they tell them. And I think, at least up to this point, I feel they're still good at telling this story. Like, Javi is at least somewhat sympathetic and likable enough that you care about what's going on in his life. I like the supporting cast a lot more than anybody in season two, because that was my biggest gripe with that season, where I'm like, these people are all morons. And here I'm not having that problem so much. But, yeah, I feel like it's good. It's pretty solid. I actually really enjoyed it quite a bit more than the beginning of season two. I'm still curious where it's going, because it feels like we've already covered, like, a season's worth of story in two episodes. I don't know. Did anyone else feel that way with that?
Well, it kind of just feels like it's covering familiar ground. Like, we've seen this kind of stuff, like, yeah, these people, it's about a family. We're all together in this. We all get separated. Some of us die. And it's just, we've seen this in season one, where it's a bunch of group of people, a family, you know, even if they're not related to each other, like they've had this bond, they've gone through this shit, you know. Season two, it's the same thing. I personally liked a lot of some of the new characters, but not all of them. I'm a big Luke fan. Yeah, I guess I'm the only one that liked Luke. He was great. He was a nice guy. He respected me. He respected Clementine.
He's so nice, he's uninteresting.
No, come on. No, he's a good guy. But yeah, I mean, and with this, it just, everything just feels so familiar. And maybe that's just my greater problem with The Walking Dead as a property at this point, really, now that I think about it. It's just that everything just feels overdone. It's like, yeah, okay, they take over a new location. A bigger, badder group comes to kick them out. They fight. They battle. A bunch of people die. The bad guy dies. Then they move over to the next. Oh, it's an even worse villain this time. And he has a baseball bat. It's just like everything feels – it just feels kind of the same to me.
He has a baseball bat. Oh, no.
Yeah. people are freaking out about Negan. Now, he's the greatest character on the planet. I think personally he sucks, but that's just me. I don't know. Maybe he's just playing in the games now. Like, maybe I'm just – maybe this, I'm not into The Walking Dead anymore. Like, not only the games, but, I mean, yeah, the comics and the show, yeah, but maybe it's the games now. I don't know.
As Justin kind of alluded to, maybe these stories are getting a little played out.
Yeah.
I can definitely see that. I think why it didn't do that to me is, one, I've taken a break. I didn't have that extra season. I didn't really dive into the content. I thought season one was great, but I understand its limitations mm-hmm. as a form of storytelling. So I don't read the comics. I never watched the show. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Something I found playing this game, what made me care, and I told you this off mic, is Javi is Hispanic. His family is Hispanic. I'm Hispanic. And it's
– really?
Shut up. Well, they can't see. I'm just a voice to them.
Well, the Trump administration would like to have a word with you, sir.
But there aren't a lot of stories out there in games.
Sure.
Or, you know, times for me to play someone that I feel like I can relate to. Like, to mm-hmm. allude back to Aladdin, I told this story. Like, that was the movie I related to the most because I was like, Aladdin kind of looks like me. Okay. Like, and
it's brown.
Basically.
Yeah.
Because look at all the other Disney movies. Bunch of white faces.
Yeah, Moana.
Yeah, now.
Well, you know, I kind of agree with you, John. Like, I really like that there is this other representation because we get so many, you know, cut and dry white guys like Luke from season two, just saying.
He's a great white guy.
It's nice to see different perspectives. And it feels like, I mean, I don't want to say colored because it sounds wrong when talking about other. they have a unique perspective and a unique way that they change the story based on their ethnicity. I really like that.
Yeah, yeah. I hope this doesn't sound weird. But yeah, it definitely. In terms of the family dynamic, it feels different than what I'm used to. It's like, okay, but I like that the fact that they use Spanish and that it's subtitled. That's cool. I like that.
No, I think that's great what you're saying because to me it didn't feel foreign.
Okay.
Having the brother just kind of like casually drink. He's not drunk. He's just drinking. But mm-hmm. he's just that's what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing the older people say mijo.
Yeah.
Someone,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
When I used to work at HEB, like, random Spanish woman would call me mijo, and, like, instantly I felt really warm. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, my grandmother used to call me that. My grandparents call me that. And it makes me very tied to those people. So watching someone like Gabe, you know, he's kind of the worst character, but it reminds me a little bit of my brother, especially during his, like, teenage angsty phase. Just, I can project that on him.
Mm-hmm.
Someone like Mariana reminds me of, I don't know, one of my youngest cousins, like a 7-year-old, and just like I could project that on them. And that's something I never get to do. Mm-hmm. I don't have those opportunities. So when I do, it like hits me really hard. And I could feel that kind of – I could feel that tension that Javi is late. And I understand he has an excuse, but it's your dad. You do not do that. And I just felt this weird sort of thing. Like I felt extra tied to it because I could project my family and my values and the way they work mm-hmm. onto this character. And it was just something I did not expect. I didn't know he was a Hispanic character either. I'd never heard what his name was. I didn't watch any trailers because like I told you, I didn't care about this game.
Yeah, that's true.
It just all took me by surprise.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, fair enough. I mean, that's the cool thing about this is that we all very different experiences. I think we're all kind of on a different page in terms of. I mean, I think John and Justin, you agree more than with each other than I do with either of you. But yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, would you guys want to kind of go into like the major decisions of the episode 1 and 2? If
yeah, I guess I think it's good that you know spoilers now.
Yeah, now it's spoilers. Now you kind of heard our thoughts.
The thing about the New Frontier is I don't think you needed to have played any of the other ones to really enjoy it too much.
Some context is missing.
I think it helps to know who Clem is. The little – she has flashbacks. That's not really a spoiler. There's little flashback scenes. I don't know who that baby is.
Yeah.
And it makes me really interested to know who that baby is.
It's a big part of season 2.
Yeah.
I have a bone to pick with one of those flashback scenes, so we'll get to that whenever
we get. Yeah, sure. Just quick consensus. Chris don't like it very much.
Yeah, I'm very mixed on it. Mixed to negative at this point.
Justin?
I actually really dig it. It's not as explosive as season 1, but I think it's a lot better than season 2. So I'm willing to give it a shot.
I was very surprised by how connected to it. I outright will say I kind of loved it a lot. Nice. The way both episodes end. So, but yeah, if you've already played the game, feel free to continue. If you haven't, please go check out the game. Yeah. I don't know.
Absolutely.
But go ahead, Chris.
So probably the first big major decision of the game where it's, you know, it takes place with Javi and with his family, his, was Kate and his, then his two nieces and nephews.
Gabe and Mariana.
Gabe and Mariana. And they're on the road smoking pot. I do not approve of that when you're on the road. Don't do that. That's the other thing that bothers me. It's like, What's this teenage bullshit? You're in an apocalypse. You're driving when you're doing that.
No,
that put me in a bad.
No, it. I liked it because I don't know. My parents were young when they had me, and they feel like two people who are forced to be parents.
I get that,
but they're still growing, and it's like as a young person, you don't have as much to live for. What's the harm in just like smoking a doobie real quick?
Yeah, and I got the feeling that Kate was kind of a more immature type of person
because
we learned about her history that she's like, oh, well, I didn't really want to get married, but I kind of just fell into it anyways. Now I'm watching over these kids and our mine, you know, so it felt very in character for her to be like, oh, I think I'm just going to smoke some pot while I'm sitting in the passenger
seat. Yeah, and like hearing more of her backstory, it reminded me of just like watching people just kind of fall into life. Not really making these decisions. Like, my parents did it like this. Well, I guess that's what I do.
But your parents were in the middle of a zombie apocalypse.
But that was pre-zombie apocalypse.
True. Fine. Fair enough. But okay. So yeah, you're on the road. Basically, you're traveling in this giant minivan. And you end up going to this junkyard. And the big decision here, the first major decision of the game, is that you either choose to stay the night at the junkyard and enjoy some chocolate pudding. I love chocolate pudding. I like pudding.
I thought it was vanilla.
Maybe this vanilla pudding. I thought it was chocolate. I assumed it was chocolate.
I think I projected. I would have much rather had vanilla. So I projected on it.
Yeah, I like vanilla.
I don't like chocolate. I like chocolate, but like, let's.
Vanilla's classic. It's the classic flavor. It's a vanilla of flavors. and the other choice was whether to head back out on the road. What I did, I chose to stay the night. I guess it turned out to be one of the more poor decisions. John, what did you choose to do?
I wanted to leave.
You wanted to leave?
Because again, I was very projected mm-hmm. onto this family, and I was like, no, like, I understand they're going to be mad, but I'm going to flick them in the back of the head, they're going to get in the car, but I'm keeping them safe.
You just wanted Kate's approval, didn't you?
No, it really was more like, Javi, how old is Javi? Maybe
20s.
20s?
Yeah. Maybe like late 20s, early 30s.
Even early 30s. Yeah,
I don't know. I couldn't see 30s. I thought he was, or maybe because
28
at the beginning, mm-hmm. he seemed really young, like 22, 23.
He was clean shaven.
So I just really projected myself. I was like, no, I'm going to protect my brother. Because that's how I'm projecting Gabe.
John, it's like they made this game for you.
Yeah, they pretty much made it for you, yeah.
But yeah, I just felt very protective of the children, so yeah, I left.
You left. Justin, what did you do?
I decided to stay as well. And it's interesting because it doesn't seem like it's a big deal. Like, the only major decision that really happens because of that is how Kate responds to you and how the kids react to you. And, I mean, I could see the logic of going both ways, but I chose to stay because I'm like, hey, what's the worst that could happen? We have shelter, we can keep a watch on the door. There's only one, well, two ways in.
I've played enough of these games. I know what the worst that can happen is. But you are...
I know.
You are right, though. People were split when I beat the game last night. I saw 46.3% and wanted to leave and 53% wanted to stay.
See, I think either scenario kind of gets you to the same situation where you're, again, attacked by this other group who has claimed kind of dominion over this junkyard and how they're pissed that you're eating their chocolate and or vanilla pudding. And so that,
you eat my pudding!
Yeah, and that kind of, yeah, pretty much. And that leads to a situation where Kate and the kids kind of go off on their own. Like, they're hiding or something. They're doing something. And then Ahavi is then captured by this group, and he's being driven away to a compound. We don't really know. Something bad's going to happen. But then it ends up where there's a massive crash. The truck, basically, I don't know, does a fucking Dark Knight flip or whatever and crashes. And, of course, that brings you to the next big decision where you either shoot the driver or you let him go. I chose to let him go because I'm thinking, I don't want to waste the bullets, you know?
Well, I'd let him go too, but yeah. Because I was like, Hobby's not a killer, not on purpose.
Yeah, I think he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Justin, what did you choose to do?
I let him go because I'm like, well, this guy's an idiot. He won't last that long anyways.
That's true. He's making all that noise. Walkers will eventually get him.
55-45 in favor of not shooting.
Yeah, it's wow. Again, it's pretty – like a lot of the first few decisions.
No, what I noticed, all the decisions are tight except the ones relating to Clem.
And that's something that is
very telling.
Interesting, and I think breaks the narrative to a certain extent. We're going to get into that in a minute, but okay. So yeah, then of course that leads into the reintroduction of Clementine, which I'm like, yay! I remember you from the other games, which I was playing as you.
And you find out that she was the one Joker style that like set up.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And here we
that seemed really
go.
Unrealistic.
Nah, it worked. It worked. It was really cool, and it worked really well.
She was sawing that log for a long time, waiting for that car to come by.
Yeah, she's older now. She's got the muscles. You know, she's built. But yeah, I mean, just for me, because I bet your introduction to Clementine must have been so different, John. For me, I'm like, oh, thank God, she's here again. I know exactly how she is because based on her experiences in season two. I mean, Justin, what were your feelings to seeing Clementine reintroduced in this way?
I mean, it's kind of what you expect. It's what the fans want to see. You know, Clem acting tough with her super souped-up shotgun that she has.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fine. I mean, narratively, it didn't seem too, like, weird to include her the way they did. You know, they're definitely playing her the more, like, cold, emotionless, you know, super survivalist mode. But it was fine. I liked the way they did it.
Yeah. And so, John, what was your kind of, like, upon seeing her so different from season one?
It was like, whoa, what happened?
Yeah.
And she still got the hat. That's adorable.
She still got the hat. She will not let go of
it. And it just reminded me of Lee.
That hat must stink.
No, at that point, yeah, absolutely. And then kind of after that, you obviously go with Clementine to this other kind of like compound thing. She's taking you as her prisoner slash like
I don't know. You cut a deal.
Yeah, you cut a deal basically. Like, I'll let you get back to your family and stuff, but you gotta help me first. And it's like, okay, fine. And you eventually go to this new compound. You're introduced to all these new characters. Hey, how you doing? You're gonna die soon. Blah blah blah. And then of course you have this moment where you're talking with this other guy who basically sold Clementine these bad bullets.
And the deal goes bad.
It goes in a really funny way, which is like, see, these bullets don't work. She keeps pulling the trigger, and then pff, it works. And it's like,
she was like
shit.
Fucking surprised. Too.
That was awesome. That was one of my, I think one of my favorite moments from this episode. And of course you have a decision where it's like, what was the aftermath of the shooting? And basically what happens is either you lie and betray Clementine saying that she did it, and that basically gets you locked up, or you lie and betray Clementine and that gets her locked up and you're allowed to roam free. Or if you say, no, he was trying to attack us, she was defending herself, and then you both get locked up.
And I think you're right. This is where the narrative gets broken a bit, because this is the decision that took me the longest, because I was like, well, Javi wouldn't need to stay with her. He wouldn't do that. He has a family. He's not going to worry about her. But I was like, but I like Clem. And that's only because I played season one. Had I not played season one, as I would have ratted her out.
I mean, that's the thing where it makes sense that, to me, it makes sense that Javi would rat her out because it's like, I don't, this, she's crazy. I just talk to these people. Yeah. They seem to be a lot more kinder to me, yeah. you know, and to outsiders in general. So, yeah, it's like, yeah, she was crazy. She shot this guy. I didn't want nothing to do with it. So, because I have a previous experience with Clementine, it's like, oh, I'm going to defend Clementine no matter what. And it gets even worse later towards the episode.
Yeah, the end of the episode. The split is 95-5.
Yeah, I mean, Justin, what choice did you make in this case?
I mean, I did choose to side with Clementine, which is certainly not lying. You're actually telling the truth. But, well, I mean, if you do say, like, oh, well, no, she shot him because she just cold-blooded murdered that guy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's weird because I watched, like, several playthroughs to see the different ways each choices went. And I remember watching Rage Select, and Jeff was totally not a fan of Clementine when she did that. And I can kind of see where people may be coming with that, where it's like, if you didn't know Clementine before the season, you might see her like Kenny from the first two seasons, where she's just this hothead liability. So, I mean, I wouldn't blame people if they chose to rat her out, but...
But yeah, I think only people new to the series would do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's, it just feels weird. And then, of course, well, eventually, depending on what you do, then you have a choice to go back to the junkyard with one or two people. Eleanor...
Loved her instantly.
It was great.
It really, I saw her and I was like, wow, this animation and character design really cleaned up.
No, it really is. It doesn't work for some characters if you saw them like in past seasons. Because before this point, actually, there's some flashback sequences. And depending on what you did in season two, it shows you what happened. For me, it's where Clementine is alone with the baby and she ends up having her finger chopped off.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Was the same thing for you?
She's alone in my...
Okay, I mean, Justin, what about you? What was your flashback?
Well, so, I mean, yeah, for the audience, there's four different options that you can choose. I mean, that may happen based on your choices. And what I got, because actually I started fresh because I didn't have my Xbox with me over Christmas, so I just went with a basic Steam playthrough. So, yeah, I got the solo one with the baby as well because of that. But my normal playthrough, I played it where I got Jane, and this is my big beef with the way they played that character, because... Having seen all the different versions of that scene...
You gotta be careful, though. John hasn't played the second season, so let's just...
Headphones off.
Let's just leave it at this, is that how they treat some of the season two characters that Clementine is with, and I'll agree with you, Justin, I think are very sloppy and not very satisfying.
Yeah, and I'll just say this. Like, where I really liked that character, the decision they made to do with that character changed my opinion of her almost immediately. And it was like...
Yeah, it was just like... Wow, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's why I was like, So again, I'm glad I got the
decision. Again, though, I really think it's because the main line is she's alone. Because I think the New Frontier is supposed to be its own thing.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make Clem be this certain thing.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And again, like I always said, like Telltale, it's a coloring book. Like you get to color it in, but it's always going to come out to be the same image. Of course, then, yeah, you go back to the... No, did anyone pick anyone other than Eleanor?
No, she's fine.
You picked Eleanor too, Justin?
No, I stayed, actually. So I waited.
Oh, you did? You stayed
fine,
the old guy?
No.
Oh, she's fine. Yeah, she's pretty, really, but...
She's really cute.
I really was connected with Javi. I was like, Javi is vibing with her, so...
Yeah, I totally did, too. I thought there was a lot of chemistry. That's where it really worked. And, of course, well, eventually, depending on what your decision is, you go back to the junkyard in one way or another. You're like, hey, your family. You're going to stay with your family. Uh-oh. What's her name again?
Mariana.
Mariana.
Mariana. Bam! Now,
my heart was racing.
Here's the thing. Your heart was racing.
Actually, yeah, I knew it was coming, and I know that's going to be a complaint. But I think they're so obvious with it, because they keep doing back and forth. It's like, you're taking a long time. Something bad's going to happen. But
the way the camera, it's like a movie, the way the camera is positioned. It's like she's kind of off to the frame a little bit.
What I really thought was a zombie's on the ground still, or something like that's going to, I didn't expect... Bullet to the fucking face. And, like, that's it. And, like, the sound effects were really good, where it just, like, sound design came through here.
Sounds better.
And this is when I knew I was in love with what was going on, because, like, I was like, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, kind of shaking a little bit. And I was like, wow, I'm affected by this.
Yeah.
I don't even know her that well. I don't think you actually know Mariana very well.
No. She's not really, she's just kind of there to be the cute girl.
It was the fact that I could project someone on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just...
No, yeah, you were able to do that.
No, yeah. And so, again, I'm just really happy that I could do that. That's so cool.
Justin, what about you? When your reaction when that scene happened?
My reaction was, ah! But, no, but I actually really did sympathize with that character because the way they wrote her interactions with Javi, it's like, okay, she's kind of the one dependable anchor, like, emotionally that he can rely on. Because Kate,
yeah,
she's the irresponsible adult, and Gabe is Gabe. It's like, okay, at least I can latch on to this little girl, and then when she dies, I'm like, crap, now I have to stick with these crappy people.
Yeah, I mean, I laughed.
Wow.
I know it sounds bad, but it's just like, because I'm like, she's going to get shot. She's going to get shot. There it is. And it's just like,
I didn't expect it to be as brutal as it was. I expected a cutaway. Because, like I told you off mic, I don't remember seeing actual, like, deaths up front from The Walking Dead. It's been
like
forever.
For the kids. Yeah. For the kids. Like, Duck in season
Duck
one.
Shot off screen.
He shot off screen. Yeah.
So, I don't know. It just, maybe because it was a kid, it just seemed like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I mean, Justin, I think I both know. Like, you know, Robert Kirkman loves killing kids in his books and stuff. So, I was thinking, oh, he's going to kill this. He kills babies. He's all about it. But, yeah, it's just like, it didn't work for me. Now, here's the other thing where I think it breaks the narrative of the game. When you're given an escape to either stay with your family or stay with Clementine. Or you escape with your family to go back to the compound junkyard where the hell you were before. Or you stay with Clementine to fight the guys that shot Mariana. I made the decision to stay with Clementine because like, I'm going to stay with Clementine because she's Clementine. And I don't give a shit about these other people.
That's not what I thought. I thought because Clem goes, they might chase your family.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, then I'm going to stay with you, mm-hmm. the person who can help me fight, and I'm going to make sure they get out safely. But I can see what you're saying because 85% of people did select the Clem thing. And I think a lot of them, probably like you, chose it because of Clem.
Yep.
And this plays into episode 2 as well, where I did the same thing.
Yeah. Justin, what decision did you make in regards to that?
Well, I guess I'm with the Mighty 15 who left because I was like, well, yes, I could stay to hold them off, but I think it'd be more important to hold down the gaping bloody wound on Kate's stomach. And
she's okay.
It made more
Gabe's got to be a man.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm just like it made more sense emotionally that he would stick with his family because he's only he just met Clementine like literally 2 hours ago or something.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I agree with you, Justin. Like the decision to go with your family makes more sense.
I don't know. I felt heated. I like felt heated that like my little girl died,
mm-hmm.
and that's the way I played the Javi. Like he wanted to kill them.
I mean, it depends on kind of what your Javi is. Again, it's the coloring book thing, so I get that. We could just go right into episode 2 because basically it's the same exact. It just takes place right afterwards.
I needed same to get story. To episode 2.
Yeah,
I'm so glad. It was
now here's the thing. Okay, so it opens first of all with another flashback sequence before the zombie apocalypse. I'm going, okay, this is actually probably one of my favorite parts of the entire episode, actually. Like, I was expecting, like, I don't care. I want to be back into the regular narrative that I'm in. I don't want to have to go back in the past. This worked for me, which was the relationship between Kate and Javi, and where you kind of mm-hmm. learn more about Kate and Javi's brother, David, like, Kate and David's relationship and how it's really just
not great.
Not great. Borderline abusive, at least, like, verbally and psychologically abusive. And I was like, it was weird where I told David off and saying, dude, she wants to go with me, not you. Because I was thinking, this guy is such an asshole.
No, I did the same thing. I did tell him off, but I felt bad. Because when it said tell him off, I thought it more like Javi's going to stand up for himself, like back the fuck up, mm-hmm. like calm down.
Yeah.
But when he
expect him to say, she wants to leave you for me. It's like,
I was like, no, that's not even what she said.
I just want to tell him off. Like, come on, man.
And so, like, I just felt like the writing there
hurt
me a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It was weird. It's like, I liked that scene, but then it got weird. At the
I
end.
Felt betrayed a little bit.
Yeah. It was kind of, what about you, Justin? What did you pick?
I just stay out of it because I'm like, look, I've met these families before and I know these kind of people. So, you know, this isn't my place. I'm not married to these people. So let them.
I saw it as, that's my brother. We're brothers.
Yeah.
We're going to fucking yell at each other.
I was just like, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, but also when I saw the way that scene played out, if you choose to tell him off, I'm like, that is not what I would say at all. So
yeah, it's kind of weird and awkward, but I don't know. I like telling David off because he's such a prick. Okay.
I think it's warranted. I don't really think he's that big of a, I think he's a little, he's a little stern.
Yeah.
But I think you weren't there for your dad's death. What the fuck is wrong with you?
He was in traffic. It was a lot.
You New Yorkers.
Listen, I drive on the I-35 every day. That thing's a nightmare. I hate driving that thing. I want to never drive that thing again, but I have to, you know. It's, oh my God. Anyone who's been in traffic knows it's like, yeah, we want to get to the place we want to get to as fast as possible, but we can't because we would run over other cars and people. We got to act responsible. And he abandoned his car. That's going to cause more traffic. That's why I don't like him. Fuck him. So then we get to the next part. Then it goes back to present day. Now, here's the thing. And this is my biggest gripe about this this episode. And just really, yeah, just really these first two episodes there. So I made the decision to stay with Clementine. Mm-hmm. You know, and that plays out where you stay there, you the flashbang grenade, you got to bury your dead niece. That's not how, where my game started. I was already back at the compound and I was helping Kate with her wound. What? And I realized, oh, the game didn't read my save correctly from the previous episode.
What?
It didn't read it correctly. I'm thinking, what the hell? How did I teleport here? What happened with Clementine? And I was very confused. And I actually went back. I paused the game and I went online. And I was like, this is totally different from what I got. The game didn't read my save. Or it didn't read that specific one.
Well, that's weird.
And I'm thinking, what the hell happened? I mean, that, I've complained, hold on. Here's the thing.
Do you want me to do my thing? Hey, how about you fix your fucking game, Telltale? How about you don't release it until it's ready? How about you know, let it simmer, let it bake, and then serve it up so it's nice and warm. Yeah. But hey, the middle still is intact. Thank you, Telltale.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you had a ton of such problems with Batman, but I don't think nothing on this scale. Where it didn't like read my save correctly. Yeah. It was just like, what? And so that's what just put me in even a worse mood at that point. Cause I played these things back to back. I'm thinking, whatever. And then I just played it through cause I knew we had to review it.
Yeah.
I mean, so what did you choose, John? What was your whole thing? What did you do? What did you react?
I don't even know. I don't even know what the hell happened.
Okay. What happens is you kind of wake up back where you're at and Clementine kind of helps you get back on your feet.
Yeah.
And they ran away. I think you clipped one. You killed one of them, maybe. Right. But you do end up eventually at the compound. Prescott, is that what it's called?
Prescott. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And I assume it works out the same. You have a standoff with those guys.
Yeah, it happens where, you have a standoff with those people at the gates, and you have a choice between opening fire or surrendering. Yeah. Plays out the same way. Justin, what did you do? You're opened with, like, helping Kate with her wound and stuff, right?
Yeah. So I got the whole bit where you're with Eleanor and Gabe and Kate, and you're trying to take the bullet out of her wound, out of Kate's wound, and compress the blood and all that stuff. And the whole thing where Gabe tries to help out, and he chickens out because he's a, teenager. But, yeah, it was interesting. It was very tense. Like, after seeing both versions of how that scene plays out, I kind of like that scene better than the Clementine scene. Because, yeah, it's like, it's emotional to bury your niece, but there was a more immediate urgency with the Kate scene.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You get to bury her.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't know.
I can't remember when it happened, but I had found the cassette player, too.
Oh, yeah, what'd you do?
And I bury her with the cassette player.
I would have took that.
And just, I don't, gosh. It's
my cassette player now. She's dead. She's not going to use it anymore.
That's a symbol.
Ah, symbols, symbology. Go read a Dan Brown novel, John.
I just really loved it when she was like, yeah, they haven't had batteries for weeks. I just use it to pretend that you guys aren't listening. I don't know. I thought it was a cute little thing that she had done. Because I do that. I do that all the time.
It's, yeah, all right. So, she ain't using it anymore.
It's an emotional moment. I can't believe I forgot it.
I think, again, I hate the decision with the front at the gate of the Prescott thing where it happened, no matter what you do, it's the same kind of thing that plays out. Everyone dies, they freak out, they release the zombies into the complex. It gets overrun, basically. Yeah.
I surrendered, though.
Yeah, you same. I surrendered, too. Justin, did you surrender or did you open fire on these guys?
No, I surrendered, too. I mean,
yeah.
Open fire seems like a really dumb decision no matter what, but yeah, it's basically the same thing happens no matter what you do. So
yeah. And then you kind of continue on where you learn that Kate is still suffering from internal bleeding. You continue on. You meet a character who is from the comic book and TV series. I forgot this guy's going to be in this. Jesus.
Oh, is he from the – okay.
Yeah, I think he's in the TV show now as well. I'm thinking, oh, yeah. And that's why I think it's funny that the decision they have here, did you trust Jesus? His name is Jesus. He's in the show. He's like a good person. It's like, of course, I'm going to trust him. Yeah. He's okay. He's in everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was a good person.
His name is Jesus. John. I know, come on. To me, you're religious, aren't you?
I don't think I knew his name when I was like.
Is it Jesus?
No, he says he doesn't tell me his name. I just believe him at first.
Oh, okay.
After he puts the gun down, after all the mm-hmm. I tell him to back off. He's like, "Oh yeah, name's Jesus.
Nobody
name's Jesus something else." But then he's like, "But people call me Jesus."
Yeah,
I was like, "Okay." But even that, he's dirty, and he kind of just seems
so Jesus.
He seems a little off, and so when he says that, I'm still timid. I thought like,
Hey, people. I mean, he did not dress in fancy clothes, and he freaked out at that temple once.
I know
he was not happy about those people serving their stuff at the Jewish temple.
I'm just like, why is he going to the frontier? Like, why is he?
Because it's cross marketing. That's what it is, and that's what it stunk of to me. It's just like, we got to put in a popular character from the comic book or the TV show, and this is what we're doing. It's like with even with season one of The Walking Dead, when they introduced Glenn, who's in it for one episode, and it's just like, all right, see ya. And it's just like, why is this here? And knowing that he eventually, nothing's going to happen to him here, because we know this just takes place, we imagine, before the stuff in the comic book series and the, well, we don't count the TV show. But like when he gets to Washington, D.C. So it's like, okay. It just, to me, sorry, I guess that spoils it for you. But it just takes, it's like, I already know what's going to happen to this character. I mean, Justin, what did you trust Jesus?
I put my faith in my Lord and Savior. Yes.
Yes, you did.
That was a great response.
I do really actually agree with Chris on that, though. It did. Jesus isn't even my favorite character in the comics. I'm just like, okay, I guess if you had to cameo somebody, someone, you know, minorly interesting.
He's popular just because his name is Jesus. That's really it. And he has, I mean, that's. You know, there's nothing to him.
He does stick out a little bit. I thought it was weird that his placement is in there. Because I will say that's the most sort of like the part of the game where I'm just, I don't really care.
Yeah. I don't care about Jesus.
Yeah.
Right, John? I hope I'm not messing with you.
Yeah, okay.
I don't mean to be a dick. So, of course, that eventually leads to another flashback sequence or. Yeah, flashback sequence with Clementine, where you learn that she was actually a part of the group, the New Frontier, who are the people that are coming after you, who shot at you.
Well, you find out that she meets someone from the New Frontier.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I'm not sure what happened, because you do get to choose whether, like, are you going to go with them or are you going to stay?
Mm-hmm.
So I chose to go with them because I was like, I got to take care of this little baby.
Yeah, that's right. That is, you're correct. That is true. I forgot about that part. Maybe because I was so upset because my save didn't work. But then that leads to Conrad, who's one of the schmoes from
this,
the...
Again, this is what I feel like is one that breaks the narrative.
Where, you know, Conrad is upset because his wife is killed in the massacre, and he says, well, Clementine, she might have been a part of this group, or was a part of the group.
No, by then he knows.
By then he knows. And then you have decision, how do you deal with him? Do you either kill Conrad or do you agree with his plan, basically to use Clem as like a hostage of sorts to take her back to the New Frontier? And and at this point, I'm thinking, I just killed him because don't touch Clementine.
Well, see, the thing was, I do kind of like the setup because you get one chance before he does something. Like he propositions it to you and you're like, no, that's silly.
Yeah.
Where I feel like, had I not known Clem, I'm like, no, that's actually a pretty good idea. That would make sense. She's tough. She could handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he grabs Gabe and I'm like, okay, you stupid bitch.
Right, that's it.
Then I kill him. Then it had nothing to do with Clem. It was you kind of
– yeah, because he's holding her – he's holding him, Gabe Hoss. Yeah. You're right, right? I mixed the two up in my head. Justin, what about you? Did you kill him or did you like, hey, that's a good idea?
Well, first of all, it's obvious that he figured out the plan because they were talking out loud and it's like, oh, by the way, I got this tattoo on my arm. And then he's like, yeah, I'm not deaf. I can hear you guys saying that. But
nah.
Yeah.
You're a tertiary character, Conrad. You know, you can't hear what we're saying.
Exactly. But no, I agree. I the instant that he held Gabe hostage, I'm like, oh boy, my daddy senses are tingling. I gotta shoot this guy. No one touches my son or nephew.
I just shot him because I'm like, I don't agree with your plan with Clem. I don't like Gabe. I don't like the fact that he's a whiny teenager. I don't want to deal with it. We all need to grow up in this. It's the zombie apocalypse. Everyone's dying. We need to be. You got to get over your hormones.
Okay, Did you find that thing weird where they're like pairing him up with Clem? Like, oh, I bet they'll get together really nicely.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I was just
weird.
No, I was just about to say something like that. I thought that was kind of fun. Because Gabe, because
he's never had another. Yeah,
no. It's not like that. It's they're two opposites.
Yeah,
where Clem had a father there to teach her how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lee, the decision where Lee, my end of season one, where Lee's like. you have to. Like, this is going to help
shoot
you.
Me. You got
to
kill me, honey.
Where Gabe never had that.
Yeah.
And his dad was not there. And so you can kind of see what that, how that affects. Javi's not his dad. Javi doesn't know how to talk to him. Mm-hmm. And even if he did, it would never reach him because he's not his real dad.
Yeah.
So you kind of see how these two people can split off. And my thought is Clementine can help Gabe. I didn't really think of it as much of a relationship, but I'm like, Gabe needs someone his age who can kind of show him how he can be a man, how he can grow up in this apocalypse. So I don't know. It worked for me.
If he makes a move on Clementine, I'm going to break his neck. I'm going to do that. If he does anything like that, I don't want that. She's no teenage boys, Clementine, even though we've never met each other before. And I'm really not your father, but I think I am. I don't know. Weird. It breaks the narrative. So yeah, I guess it's very, very odd. But then you get to the final decision in the game where Kate's dying, I guess. And you go to Richmond and...
I did see a glitch in there. One, my game did crash at some point.
Okay.
It was really weird. But when you meet Kate in the car and you go in to pick her up... I don't think Telltale wrote two different things. Because in mine, Clem's not with me when I'm there.
You're right.
She runs
she leaves.
Away.
She leaves, yeah.
But I can see her in the reflection of the car. And I was very taken aback. I was like, wait, what?
Uh-oh. Go with Clem.
I was like, they did not do two animations. They just kept her in the whole time.
No, John, she never left. She's always.
She's always with us. That's right. That's Telltale knew ahead of time, yeah. But yeah, that gets you to the point where, okay, you go to this place, Richmond.
Meet the same guy with the shotgun.
Yeah,
the
he's kind of like, he's like a dick, but he's nice. Like, he's reasonable.
He's a dick with a conscience.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to be tough, but he's also like, I don't want to kill. If I
don't want to kill anybody. Like, come on, we all get along. I'll shoot you, though. But yeah, then you have a choice of either surrendering to his demands, which reasonable.
Yeah.
Or refusing them.
As most people saw, it was reasonable.
Yes, yes. But then, of course, yeah, 95% of people surrendered to his demands. That's, wow. But then, of course, the gate opens up, and the person who was one of the leaders, we assume, is actually David, Javi's brother. And goes by.
And I was like, fuck?
Yeah.
I want the third episode so bad.
It's, you know, I know it's going to end. At least
David
the season.
Dies.
Oh, yeah, I think Javi's going to kill David, because David's probably like a psychopath at this point.
Yeah,
probably out of his mind. If he was controlling then, I can imagine him in an apocalyptic scenario.
I think it's also interesting. I wonder if they're going to dive into it, but like the army background he has.
Oh.
And maybe that's how he got to power so fast, where he understands how war works.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's a fun dynamic, because also it's brothers. And, you know, I just have this cool thing with brothers. And it's one is a privileged person having to learn how to do this.
Yeah.
The other kind of this is his element.
Yeah.
And that's interesting, because now David is the one in power. David can be the one like, this is my zone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a king in here.
Yeah.
And he no longer has to be jealous of his brother. And I don't know. There's a lot of interesting things to dive in there. And now I'm just kind of like, well, where has David been the whole time? I forgot that they didn't explain that. I thought he died, but they never say that. And so like, what's going on? I need to know.
Yeah.
I need the third episode.
So Justin, what did you think of that reveal? And also if you can just kind of go into your, I think, final thoughts as well.
I mean, I saw it coming. It's not really all that surprising, because he would show up at some point, especially because they've been insinuating this whole kind of like pseudo romantic thing with Kate, where like you have opportunities to kind of flirt with her or kiss her at one point, and that has to come to a head at some point. So it was a good reveal. I mean, it wasn't, it didn't shake my world, but at least goes, okay, this is a new element that I want to see explored. But yeah, going to the final thoughts, I think this was a strong start. It wasn't, you know, again, the intros to Tales from the Borderland and Season 1 of Walking Dead are like some of the best openings for any Telltale game. And while this didn't hit those heights, I think I like the fact that I connected with the characters so immediately. I felt like I liked, you know, most of the characters, even Gabe, as much as he's an annoying little turd, I kind of understand why they have him. So I'm not angry having him around for a little bit longer. They need to do something more with him otherwise. But other than that, I think it was, the writing was still strong. There's a lot of good funny moments. I can't remember them any off the top of my head because it's been 2 weeks, but they were good comedy bits. And it's solid as much as a Walking Dead story can be. It is the thing that, again, like you said, Chris, Walking Dead, I think, has run its course. Like, it feels like the more they keep repeating the same cycles, the more they keep repeating the same stories and elements, we're just going to get tired of them. There's just not going to be much more that they can tell us that we don't already know about zombies. But as long as we have it now, I enjoy it. I think I'm going to probably rest somewhere around 8 out of 10 attempts by adult actors to sound like children at the beginning of the game. Because did that bother anyone else too, where like, oh, hello, I am 10 years old?
Yeah, a little awkward, a little bit. I mean, John, what about you? What are your final thoughts?
Granted, I've only played Batman and The Walking Dead Season 1.
Wow.
But this is my favorite opening out of both of the seasons. I think it's more refined. I think Telltale does some interesting things with the camera where it seems they've understand how to write. Now they're actually trying to work with a camera angle.
Yeah.
I think the models look good. Unlike you two, I didn't play it day one because, again, did not give a shit.
Force you to play.
But so there were no bugs. I got to play it like a game. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, you finished your game on time?
Yeah.
They didn't, but, you know, it felt like that for me. So it was uninterrupted. And it makes me really think, like, would I have loved Batman this much had I not run into all those issues? I just connected with Javi and his family, and I could project that, and everything just felt much more connected.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see where it goes. I will say, you're right that I don't think The Walking Dead has anywhere to go with zombies, and I could care less. Zombies are barely in this game to me.
Yeah.
They're gnats.
They're just there, and I don't really give a about them.
Give a F.
An F and A about these zombies. But I care about Javi, and I care about his family, and I care about his relationships with his brother, and it's, I don't know. I'm really happy that they took it in this weird direction and risked a lot to not really have Clem be your star. And for me, so it just pays off, and I'm very thankful for it. So 9 out of 10, I don't know.
Wow, very, very, very high reviews, very high praise. Yeah, we can do all zombies at the end. I understand where you're coming from. I get that. I can appreciate the risk that they took, and, like, you know, Clementine, people have invested in this character so much that they would make the decision. It's not her story anymore. It's this other person's story. She's in it, but she's not the most important thing in it. And I'm thinking, okay, I respect that. I don't like it. I like my Clementine, and I'm the opposite. I'm invested in this character. I want to see her. This, to me, I thought The Walking Dead was about her. This is Telltale's Walking Dead, where it's about this little girl. You follow her from when you're protecting her to the point where now you're playing as her as she's learning to survive on her own. And then I made the decision. Well, I just thought at the time that season 3 would be, this is her in her element now, where she's been formed by this world, you know. And this is now she's the one that's the competent one. Now she's the one that's going to be leading these people. And so,
and she kind of is, though.
She is, but I want to be. But she's. I want to make those decisions for her. I just want to be a little girl, well, John.
I think Clementine's grown up to the point where you can't control her.
God damn, that was poetic as hell. Okay, I understand that, but I just want to be that character. I want to see more of her life, you know, post what everything happened that after season 2.
Maybe that's why I like this, because I get.
Yes, you don't know. I mean, that's the thing.
But that's a bad thing.
I'm just saying that you just haven't experienced it.
But I mean, like, I get to see her still, and I get to see how she's developing, and this also leaves it open for them to tell the little story about what happened at the New Frontier and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to dive into.
No, you're very true. And then I guess I like Javi. I like Eleanor. But then some of these other characters, I did not care. I don't like Gabe. Kate's fine. I hate David. Mariana?
Mariana.
What is it? Mariana? I was like, all right, she's dead.
And apparently no one cares about Trip.
No one cares about Trip. That's the big guy, right? He's the fat guy? Yeah, I don't care about him. Yeah. It just kind of didn't work for me. And again, the technical problems I had with the game, the fact that it didn't read my save, and I was confused. Yeah. It broke it even more, made me even more frustrated. So, yeah, I'm not particularly looking forward to playing episode 3. at this point, I'm kind of looking at this like Game of Thrones, the Telltale's Game of Thrones. I'm thinking, I don't care to finish this. Yeah, so for me, I probably give this 5 out of 10 shots to the head.
The funny thing is because you made me play it, and I love it so much.
Yeah.
Now you have to finish this.
Now I have to finish it. Now we do the reviews. Now let's do all zombie sounds at the end.
I'm Chris Herman.
I don't like that. That's not funny. That's not a zombie sound.
He's got bullshit written all over him.